Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And welcome to another fine episode of the M Squared TechCast here on the PodcastDetroit.com network. I believe this is episode 115.
We know because sitting at the end of the table is the guy that edits the podcast and does all the commercials. Foster Brown from WJR has joined us today.
Delighted to be here.
And we're happy to have you.
We'll be talking about his 20th anniversary. Yeah. Of his 40th birthday, right? No.
You're close.
Yes, Internet Advisor. Internet Advisor's 20th anniversary. I was on that show a week and a half ago.
Yes.
A week ago, Saturday. Yes.
Yeah, that's so. About how old the Internet is, so I guess that makes sense. Well, 25,
that's true,
more or less,
yeah.
for the Internet. Yeah. So, yeah.
But in the first segment.
And we have with us Greg Doyle from Tech248, who wants to talk about something called 1 Million Cups and the Oakland Entrepreneurial Alliance.
Hey.
As someone, being here at PodcastDetroit.com, there are a lot of cups around here. They're generally filled with fun beverages.
Yeah, if you've been in our studio, the green room, or whatever you want to call it out there, I call it the bar.
Yeah.
It's not us. We're daytime. I'm not a day drinker. So, I was last week, but
only
that was different.
That was vacation and maybe the occasional tailgate, but I understand.
Yeah.
But so,
1 million.
So tell us what 1 million cups is. What kind of cups are we talking
about? Well,
it refers
more to coffee than anything.
Oh, that's
there's a little bit of a hint.
All right. Gotcha.
So, 1 million cups is really a pretty cool thing. It's first of all, it's a program that was started by the Kauffman Foundation.
Okay.
And some of us know who the Kauffman Foundation is, or very
kitty litter.
Yeah, yeah, they're a foundation that's all about entrepreneurship. The founder of that organization was Mr. Kauffman.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, they started this program called 1 Million Cups, and what it refers to is it takes a million cups of coffee to form a business, to start a business, and. The concept was really started. It's a 2015. Now there's about 150 of these 1 million cups programs across the United States. But we're the only ones, as far as I know, in Michigan. And what 1 million cups is all about is giving people the opportunity in a supportive environment to really pitch their business concept. So they get an opportunity for a 6-minute pitch, and they get 20 minutes of feedback from a panel, as well as a really supportive audience of other entrepreneurs.
Uh-huh.
So something unique in our area in that there isn't money associated with this pitch, and it's really all about trying to pull entrepreneurs together to help support each other.
So is more mentoring, that sort of thing, than obviously no money, so you get something?
Yeah. So it's a pretty simple process, really. If you're an entrepreneur and you think, hey, I want to get some feedback on my concept, what you do is you go to 1 Million Cups Oakland, and online you apply. It takes probably 3 to 5 minutes just to fill out the form. And you'll get contacted by one of the members of our volunteer committee. We've got a team of entrepreneurs that help kind of vet the concepts and work with the entrepreneurs before they present. So you'll work with an entrepreneur who will coach you along. There's also some online tools, some video to watch how to put together your pitch. And you'll put together that pitch with some help, and then you'll be scheduled to come and do it live.
So. 6 minutes is a bit long for an elevator pitch. Typically, they're more like 90 to 120 seconds.
So it's not a pitch.
It's
not an elevator. It's not an elevator pitch.
Right.
It's really, here is my concept. Here is where I'm at with that concept. Here's what I think I need next. And really, the most important question is asked of that entrepreneur at the end of their pitch, which is, hey, what can we as a community do for you? How can we help you?
Uh-huh.
And so you get a lot of feedback from people in the audience. We've had people present all the way from very high-tech things to common kinds of, I want to start my own cookie baking company. And so we've had probably about 20, 30 presenters up to this point. And, you know, the audience changes pretty much every time. Mm-hmm. And so if you're, you know, looking for some great feedback on your concept and what really are the next best steps for you to take to start that business or maybe to launch that new product, the audience is there to really support you with that. So it's been some great, real great interaction with the audience. This consists largely of entrepreneurs and other support people. We'll have people from OU, OU Inc., from LTU, you know, the support organizations, on and on. We'll have venture capitalists there. Generally, it's a, you know, it's 20, 25 people in the crowd, but a very interactive event for people.
And this is every week?
It's every second Wednesday of the month.
Ah, got it.
So actually, we've got one coming up this Wednesday.
Okay.
Okay, where are these held?
So they're held at the Oakland County Executive Office Building in Waterford. Pretty central location for everybody.
Okay.
So when we've got, you know, it's called a Million Cups, so you got to have coffee.
Mm-hmm.
We have a sponsor, the Office Coffee Shop. Michael Keith is the entrepreneur who owns that right here in Royal Oak.
Oh, yeah.
He provides the refreshments for all of the Million Cups. And we also need help with, of course, with the marketing of 1 Million Cups. Mm-hmm. And so there's a company called H2H Consulting. Kendra Corman is the owner of that business, and she does our tweets and our Facebook and takes care of the website and so on. So there's a good network of entrepreneurs that are involved in volunteering their time to help other entrepreneurs.
All right, interesting.
So, one of the things that I also wanted to talk about is that the whole concept of 1 Million Cups coming to Michigan was really driven by the Oakland Entrepreneurial Alliance. So this is where you can ask me where what is the Oakland Entrepreneurial Alliance?
I think that was called a setup.
Guests come with their own questions. That's pretty cool.
I think it's the training. After they do it so many times, we don't even have to ask the questions.
Okay. We'll just smile and nod, which is great radio.
He's baiting you, Matt. Go ahead.
All right. So what is the Oakland Entrepreneurial Alliance?
That's a good question.
Good question.
That's a great question. Well, you know, back, you know, 3-4 years ago, even at the Oakland County Business Center, where we work with entrepreneurs every day, we would hear these stories from small business owners on a pretty regular basis. And the story kind of went like this. I started over at SBDC and worked with someone there. And then I went over to LTU, and I worked with someone over there. And then I went
Score
to,
maybe. Yeah,
and right. I went over to OU Inc., and then I came over here, and now, you know. And so you had these stories of people kind of bouncing from
like
different
NASCAR,
support.
It's a different track every week, right?
Yeah, you know? And everybody was providing value to that entrepreneur. But the question was, how well did each of these support organizations really know each other so that we might be able to better guide entrepreneurs to the right resource at the right time?
No, that's really the question. Because no matter what, I've been covering the state for a very long time, and you still have the silo mentality. There's a lot of lip service paid, I'm sorry, to the fact, we're all working together. No. I mean, I see it all the time. I don't usually talk about it because, you know. But, I mean, that's still that issue. Everybody's doing their own thing, and really the coordination's not there.
Yeah, and so, you know, we saw a need there in talking to people like, you know, one of your next guests here is Mark Berkey from LTU. So he was one of the folks that we talked to about this issue, along with our, you know, our partners at OU Inc. and Walsh College and SBDC and Automation Alley. Mm-hmm. We're all getting entrepreneurs into our office and talking to them. But we talked to everybody and said, well, you know, what do you think? How can we better coordinate? How can we better help entrepreneurs? And so based on those conversations, we came up with this thing called the Oakland Entrepreneurial Alliance.
Is it just Oakland County?
Well, you know, most of the players and the partners here provide services outside of Oakland County.
Right.
And even Oakland County occasionally does. But, you know, we have to be careful that we're providing services to county residents. But the other partners are more regional.
Okay.
So, you know, it's something that we thought, all of us thought, was something well worth pursuing. And so what happens is on a monthly basis, these organizations get together. to talk about what's going on in their organization, to talk about different clients that might need help from one of the other organizations. And so, again, the main purpose here, from if you're an entrepreneur out there listening, what we're trying to do is to make that process of getting you to the right resource at the right time. We're trying to make that process easier and quicker.
Uh-huh.
So that's really what it's all about. We've had some great, we've got some great stories of entrepreneurs that have come into one of our organizations. We've recommended them, you know, why don't you do a million cups? Get some more feedback from other entrepreneurs about this concept. They've come and done a million cups,
mm-hmm.
and then come back to the support organization for more help. And then a year down the road, they're ready to come in and sit down and present to all of the members of the OEA, who we can then say, hey, you know, this is where this company is right now. These are the resources they need next. And maybe LTU is the next right resource for them.
Uh-huh.
But it's a great experience for entrepreneurs. And we're trying to really provide a much more valuable ecosystem for small business owners out there.
And do you have a success story? Has some company come out of this that's used this as, you leverage this to go on and do wonderful things in the commercial world or what?
Well, we've only officially been around for about a year.
Huh?
So we're working with companies that have kind of gone through the process of working with several of us,
mm-hmm.
and that have come in and presented. And now we've got a much more focused approach of how we're going to help them, you know, get the funding that they
sure.
need or develop the prototype that they need and
uh-huh.
who are the right organizations. So in some of these cases, we've got two or three of the organizations working together on one client.
Are you like working with the Michigan Venture Capital Association or any of the angel groups? I mean, if you see a particularly, they're always looking for good deals. I mean,
yeah.
So right. if you guys stamp one and say, oh, you should check this one out.
Well,
I can help you with that. Yeah, just like I know everybody, you know. So
that's a great point. This is one of the other things that we're looking for the OEA to do is provide that pipeline for venture capitalists. So
uh-huh.
rather than having to hunt around at all of these different organizations to find companies that are investment,
uh-huh.
The OEA can be that pipeline. So we're in the process of really developing that now, but that certainly is the intent.
Yeah, the MVCA has a, you know, if you go to the website, you can, they have a database essentially where you can say to it what what your area is,
yeah.
and they'll hook, because everybody invests in different things.
Yeah.
And you don't need a venture capital. That's like you're doing a gazillion dollars and you go into the third or fourth step. But I mean, most people at some point are going to need some kind of private equity, angel money or something like that.
Right, right. Well, some of them that are coming in can take advantage of the business accelerator funds that our incubators,
sure.
our accelerators offer. And that's a nice first start where they can maybe get a prototype advice on patenting their intellectual property,
sure.
And more assistance through the BAF fund. And that's funding that they would not get any other way.
We're going to have to cut you off. Okay, we've got about a half a minute left.
We've got about 30 seconds left. So why don't you give folks contact information on both 1 Million Cups and the OEA?
Well, 1 Million Cups is real easy. Just go to 1 Million Cups Oakland.
That's easy.
And you'll see all the information if you want to present. If you want to volunteer to help out that effort, you can do that as well.
Uh-huh.
The Oakland Entrepreneurial Alliance is really just going to give you more information about what we as support organizations are trying to do. And that's oaklandentrepreneurialalliance.org.
And that's Greg Doyle.
All right.
Who wears many hats for Oakland County, including a co-director of Tech 248, or what are you? What's your official?
Well, I don't know what the official
is. Irene I know she's the big monkey muck, yeah. but so I know you work with her.
Yep, that's right. I don't know what the official title is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can ask her.
We'll promote you.
Yeah, so, okay, good.
All right.
I like that.
Once again, that's 1millioncupsoakland.com. Get out there and pitch your idea. We'll be right back with another segment of the M-Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're indeed listening to the M-Squared TechCast on the PodcastDetroit.com network.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches.
Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Yes, you are. The only podcast you're listening to right now, we hope,
hopefully,
right?
Hopefully.
Yes, okay. Yeah. That's Matt's line. I thought I'd steal it.
That's all right.
So we have on the line Wei Peng, who's the director of M City and also the Roger L. McCarthy Professor of Mechanical Engineering at the University of Michigan. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you for the invitation.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, one of the things we wanted to talk to you about, I think it was about a week or so this news came out, that 42 companies have committed to investing $150,000 each in M-City over a period of 3 years. That's a lot of money. So I'm sure that makes you smile, doesn't it?
It certainly does. So this is the beginning of our second three-year phase. So over the first 3 years, we have companies sign up as a leader circle members, and then many sign up as affiliate members. So this news announcement is for the second three-year phase for okay. our affiliate members.
And so what does that do? What are you going to do different than you did the first phase, or just more of the same, or exactly what happens?
Great question. So certainly the whole idea of M-City is we focus on connected and automated vehicle technologies. And we have been building the world's largest connected vehicle living laboratory. So at Ann Arbor today, we only have about 1,500 cars equipped with V2V technologies sections. By the end of the year, we were hoping to get the number to about 3,000 cars and about 17 intersections. And what we do here is to provide a living laboratory where the newest technology is available for all our member companies to come in, to test, and to develop their technologies together.
Now, do you have more than 42 member companies, or is this a new wave of member companies? I mean, what's your total number now?
A total number is 11 leadership circle companies. Each one invests $1 million over a three-year period. And then the 42 affiliate members.
All right. So tell us about some of the things that are going on there in terms of testing. What have you seen so far that these companies are doing? How are they using M-City?
So M-City test facility is only one element of what we do. We call that a safe, repeatable, and accelerated testing environment for connected and automated cars. The detail of the testing, I'm not at the liberty to describe because many of those are confidential testing.
Who would we tell,
in the meantime,
right?
Of course, we are doing research and developing our own technologies. For example, we are studying how connected vehicle technology help to make automated vehicles safer. We are developing accelerated evaluation process to test highly automated vehicles. We are studying the cybersecurity aspects. We are also studying, for example, and how users develop trust and toward highly automated vehicles over time.
Somebody recently asked me to explain the difference between M-City and the American Center for Mobility, which I know is just now starting to slowly come online, but it's going to be a gigantic facility at Willow Run. How would you explain the difference between what you're doing and what they're doing?
Oh, certainly. That's a great question. M-City is relatively small. We are about 18 acres, and ACM is about 300 acres. So because we are inside the city boundary, we couldn't have 300 acres. Therefore, because of the size, M-City test facility was designed to do lower speed and basic testing. It's focusing on testing in urban environment plus speed no higher than 45 miles per hour. But we make our facility available to all our 50 company members, our professors, students, student teams, solar cars, Formula Hybrid, and things like that, even high school student like Square One competition. So MCT is more education-focused, and we do a lot of research, while in the meantime, ACM is higher speed, more routine, more standard developments, things like that.
Yeah, I know that ACM has a 3-mile freeway loop with a 65 mile an hour speed limit, and there's simply not room for that at the M City site, right? No. So that's,
I don't think you can get up to 55 there.
Right. So one of the things I thought was interesting among the roster of companies who became affiliate members was an insurance company, Progressive Insurance. Tell me what an insurance company, you know, how they want to use the facility, what they want to learn.
Yeah, so that's a great question. So when new technologies come on board, they could potentially make huge changes that many people don't envision at the very beginning. Internet, you know, big data, artificial intelligence. Of course, many people view that when we connected vehicles together and we make them more automated, there will be a lot of changes. They may impact the insurance company, how you insure these vehicles, who is responsible, and the frequency of how crashes happen may have a big change. For example, if automated cars not only have this chauffeur function that drive you around, but also they are equipped with guardian functions that really reduce crashes a lot, it will change people's life, not only safety, but insurance. So it's not surprising that many insurance companies are members of MCT, including one, Stefan, which is a Leadership Circle company member.
Ah. Okay, so are you going to be I'm trying to sort of dig down more into the difference between the two facilities. Yours is more basic research, and then American Center is more applied research or commercialization, or is that oversimplification?
So at MCT, we have MCT Test Facility, which is a smaller version of ACM, mm-hmm. but our facilities are highly connected. We have not only DSRC Wi-Fi, we also already have 5G equipment available. We also make this test facility available to many students and research projects. Mm-hmm. In addition, we have Living Laboratory, again, 3 cars, 17 intersections in Ann Arbor. We are deploying autonomous shuttles on University of Michigan campus. So there are many things that we do that ACM does not. ACM is a larger version of our test facility. They are a higher speed routine testing.
Yeah, okay. All right, so there's a lot of debate out there, and we have it on the show a lot, about when autonomous vehicles are really going to be commonplace. I mean, I suppose it depends on the level. Right now, I guess we have level 2 and level 3, but I mean, everybody wants that vehicle where they've been out, you know, maybe drinking too much, and they want to crawl in the back seat and say, take me home. I firmly believe that's a long ways off, but what do you think?
At MCT, we talk about connected and automated vehicles. We seldom talk about just driverless, because we think driverless is a higher level, level 4, level 5 automated vehicles.
Right.
The society will be impacted, safety will improve dramatically, even when people start to have automated emergency braking, AEB, adaptive cruise control, lane keeping assist. These guardian system or level 1, level 2 systems will already bring a huge impact to the society.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the cost benefit and readiness of the technology, we think that certainly people will see AEB level 1, level 2 come more strongly, very quickly. AEB, the penetration can go beyond 50, 90% very, very quickly in a few years.
Hmm.
Level 1, level 2, because people have to pay, it will take a longer time. Level 4, level 5, depending on the application. If you choose the right niche application, such as sunny California, Florida, well-defined geofence area with significant mobility service, and when it doesn't snow, level four vehicles can live happily there as the first adopter applications. Widespread application of these vehicles selling to the general public, understanding that many of them don't wash their cars, the sensors may be dirty, maybe not well calibrated, and so forth.
Of that, yeah.
We don't selling to the general public is the right first step. It would be wise to start from lower level automation or only selling the highly automated vehicles to fleet operators where these vehicles were upkept professionally and taken so they always are properly.
Okay, so we've certainly have plenty of opportunity to study this winter on how well these technologies will work in snowy conditions. I know that's one thing that people have always asked me about. Is it how the heck is an autonomous or self-driving vehicle supposed to see in a snowstorm?
Yep.
Because people frequently certainly do not, as we can tell.
Yep. One
of the things I was wondering about is we hear a lot about sort of automated driving and safety improvement. It's gradually morphing into driverless vehicles over some period of time, which is open to wide debate. What I hear less about is the connected car, the V2V, V2I, V2X infrastructures. Tell me a little bit about what you see on the horizon for that. I remember being really excited about that about 6 or 8 years ago, that cars could talk to each other and the lead car in a pack could say, hey, wait a minute, there's ice on this road all of a sudden, so everybody behind me needs to slow down. Where are we on those technologies?
Right. So the DSRC, which is a different form of Wi-Fi, is already being designed, tested, perfected. And many companies join MCT because of their enthusiasm for deployment of connected vehicles technologies. We believe that communication is, first of all, they are much cheaper. Mm-hmm. And second, they don't need line of sight. You can talk to other cars and communicate about your position, velocity, acceleration, your ABS deployment or airbag deployment, and again, because you don't need line of sight, you have longer range. This is really another rich source of information that can greatly benefit vehicle automation. That's actually one thing that we keep study and demonstrated at MCT. So in a typical MCT demo, we'll show you how connected helps automated vehicles. The current status is, again, we will be deploying 3,000 connected cars. MCT is fully equipped with DSRC equipment. Many companies are developing their technologies at MCT.
3,000 that'll be on the streets of Ann Arbor, or 3,000 operating in MCT? I don't think you could get 3,000 in MCT, right?
So MCT is equipped. It's ready to take many cars. But when we talk about 3,000 connected cars, they are volunteers' cars. They volunteer to have their vehicles equipped with DSRC and GPS.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be making Ann Arbor the best living laboratory. When a car from our member company drive to Ann Arbor, they are interacting with 3,000 connected cars and 70 connected traffic signals, infrastructure. Therefore, they can use this as a living laboratory to perfect their technology.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. We've run out of time, but thank you for being with us today. Weiping, MCT Director, and Roger L. McCarthy, Professor of Mechanical Engineering at the University of Michigan. If people want more information about MCT, what's the website?
mcity.umich.edu.
Okay. Thanks very much. Thanks for being with us today. We'll be right back with another segment on the M2 TechCast. Right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you are indeed listening to the M2 TechCast.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rouse.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. We have somebody,
get that bell ready.
We have somebody here from my employer, Lawrence Technological University.
Shameless plug.
That's our shameless plug bell. Wherever we plug our employers, we're always supposed to ring that.
Yep.
Mark Brucke is Executive Director of Corporate and Community Partnerships at Lawrence Tech. Did I get the title right?
Sure.
Okay. Yes. All right. Well, close enough, right? Okay. But he runs the main thing Mark runs for us, among a lot of other things, is the LTU Collaboratory, which is our very own business accelerator. Yes, it's part incubator, but it's also a whole lot more than that. And in fact, he's going to talk about that right now. Mark, tell us about this this award, this grant we just got from the MEDC.
Great. Well, thanks for having me. The Collaboratory received MEDC, what they call a gatekeeper grant, which is $100,000from April 1st, 2018 through March 31st, 2019. And what it does is helps us support small businesses and entrepreneurs. This is our third award from the MEDC. So we've had an award from them since 2015, and this will take us through March of 2019. And we're really excited about this because of our growth and the work that we're doing here. Mainly, we have really moved the LTU Collaboratory from a general business environment to one that's focused on helping small businesses, small manufacturers, and hardware entrepreneurs scale up and accelerate the growth of their businesses. And that's a unique niche within the Michigan entrepreneurial ecosystem. It's something that we researched and we've piloted over the last 2 years. And we really feel that this is a great direction for Lawrence Tech to take, given our background in design, engineering, prototyping, and manufacturing.
Right. Because you see a lot of business accelerators that are geared more towards software companies or app developers or that kind of thing. Not so many that are geared toward manufacturing.
Correct. And that's what we're known for here in Michigan and Detroit area, is making things. If you interview or you talk to people outside of Michigan and ask them what we're known for, you know, what do you know Detroit for? What do you know Michigan for? It's manufacturing. And so we're carving out that niche developing programs around that and launching those now over the last year. This next grant for the MEDC allows us to continue with that and really bring in and start working with more hardware entrepreneurs and small businesses to accelerate their growth. And some of that means that we connect them with mentors. We connect them with prototyping services and other engineering and design services, even AR and VR for product realization and other technologies. Part of it is also technology integration and making people aware of what's out there and available to them. And then more so than not, it is really helping them with their business growth. And here with us today is Kathy Cook of K-Tech System, which is one of our clients from the LTU Collaboratory. And we like to call Kathy one of our ideal clients because we talked to her, we met with her, and she was looking to be able to grow from a product distributor to a manufacturer. And we've been able to help her do that. And she's a great success story of what we're looking to do with more and more companies here in Michigan.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about your business, K-Tech, and sort of how you evolved from a distributor to a manufacturer?
Well, K-Tech Systems started 28 years ago as a distributor, and we sold products that measured temperature, pressure, and flow. we decided to go into manufacturing because we saw there was a need for quality, and people were shopping on the internet to find the cheapest product and not finding quality, and they were getting, you see more recalls in the auto industry, and our customers are directly auto customers and people making things. So we needed help. You know, that's a big challenge, from being just selling parts to actually manufacturing the parts themselves. And that's what we went to LTU for.
Sure. And so the MEDC grant allowed us to hire a full-time mentor in residence. Her name is Lee Gorman, and she is a Lawrence Tech alum, but she spent a lot of time last 10 years or so in business consulting and in the entrepreneurial ecosystem as well. And so she was able to come in, work closely with Kathy, identify some of her needs, work with her on things like financing and investments and opportunities, and was able to provide a level of a sounding board and business expertise that Kathy then took and ran with. Mm-hmm. And now she's in Ferndale, and's got a great facility and growing like crazy. I think, seven new hires.
I doubled my sales in the first quarter.
Oh, wow, my goodness. That's great.
So when did you open up?
We started our manufacturing actually at the end of November and mm-hmm. moved in December.
Okay. So you're making essentially measurement devices, gauges, meters, that kind of thing, metrology stuff?
We put that all together. No, we measure – we help engineers test their products better by making the test equipment themselves. So specialty test equipment, specialty connectors, wire harnesses, that kind of thing that all do measurements.
Okay.
The way you initially described it, I was thinking a SCADA, you know, which is the heavy-duty, heavy-lifting stuff like the power grids and things like that.
No, we actually test – a lot of electric vehicles right now. We're mm-hmm. doing a lot of emissions testing, electric vehicle testing. We build the instrumentation and the carts and the benches that the engineers need help with.
Okay.
Got it. And you said you're up to seven employees now? Or?
No, we now have 11 employees total, but we actually can scale up and scale down depending on what our project is. Mm-hmm. Like this last project, we had to bring in a lot of employees that needed a lot more help.
Ask the Matt question. Okay. I feel it coming.
I'm just wondering if you're looking for staff right now, and if so, what skill sets are you looking for?
Absolutely.
What are you looking for?
Well, we're looking for anything from help with our technical IT side of the business, because we're evolving from not just building this test equipment, but also helping in a service side of it. There's a lot of data being out there now, and we want to help those customers collect that data mm-hmm. and actually sort through that data mm-hmm. and be able to give the information back to what is important and what is not important. And that's going to be a growing side of our business. So we're going to be full service from collecting it to analyzing it.
So how did you happen to find the LTU Collaboratory? Who referred you, or did you find it yourself?
No, I think I found it. Actually, I work with both Oakland County, SBDC, all of them, and they kind of, because they do work together, the word is out there. And they actually, I saw a flyer come across, and I'm always looking for help because we need it. Being small, you don't know always know where to go to get this help.
Yeah, sure.
So Kathy, like I said, Kathy is representative of the type of company that we want to work with. And some of the things that we pulled together a small group of manufacturers to do a short study with them and find out what they were looking for. And some of the things that they were looking for were just roundtable events, like bringing the community together, building up that community of small manufacturers, of hardware entrepreneurs, so that they get to understand the nuances, because it's not the same road as a phone app. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot more lead time and a lot of different
more capital for equipment.
More capital. Yeah. And so we wanted to be able to build that community. So we launched a series of events over the last year, Small Manufacturers Roundtable. The next one is March 16th at Lawrence Tech. We have other events, Tech Tuesdays, where we have different technology-related events. We had our first at Lyft. The second one was at Monroe & Associates in Auburn Hills. around product realization and product development and product leaning. We also have a relationship with other partners. So Automation Alley, Michigan Manufacturing Technology Association, Oakland County One Stop, where we really look at how to collaborate and work together and leverage the resources in the area. And so that because we can't do everything, we realize that, and there are, we don't want to replicate or duplicate things that are out there. We do want to be able to advance whatever what we're doing and what everyone else is doing. We also have great partners in the digital design space. So we partnered recently with the VR AR Association, so Virtual Reality Augmented Reality Association of it's a national organization, but the Detroit chapter, and we'll be hosting monthly events with them on the campus of Lawrence Tech, typically the last Tuesday of every month. And then we're also bringing in things like design thinking and other professional, technical, and workforce workshops that help employers and companies with some technical training.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about this expanded. I don't want to call it an incubator that we're working on, but it is kind of a manufacturing incubator. Tell us a little bit about the plans for that. I know it's still kind of in the planning stages.
Sure. In 2015, we purchased a building adjacent to campus, which is now part of campus. It's called the Enterprise Center, and along with the City of Southfield Smart Zone expansion or extension for 15 years, the City of Southfield and Lawrence Tech partnered with the idea of building out a business and technology accelerator that would help small businesses and hardware entrepreneurs. And so plans are underway with the City of Southfield and the MEDC to build out about 6,500 square foot of space on campus in the Enterprise Center that would include the labs of digital design, engineering, prototyping, and manufacturing, along with dedicated offices and co-working space and general co-working space and meeting space, so that we have a physical environment where people can come in and sort of kick the tires of technology, learn what is good for them, and then we have our trusted partners around the table that can we can refer them to and work with them or have companies work with them to scale up their business. And so that's on the plans with the idea that would be completed this fall.
Okay. And part of that is going to be VR and AR applications as it applies to product design, right?
Correct. And so when we look at digital design, there was a lot of technologies that big companies had that were being shifted to second and third tier level. And so we wanted to be able to make that available to them. So so part of that is AR and VR, and that's a whole world that people understand, and yet they don't know how deep it is. It goes into AI and machine learning and all sorts of different things. But that's the reason why we partnered with VR, AR, and the association to really bring that to the forefront about how products can be visualized, how people can use that as part of their business, and how it can really enhance the manufacturing side of technology, whether it be through diagnostics or through other, even how to build out plants and shop floors virtually first.
Well, in training, the possibilities for training are just limitless.
Yeah, and I know one of the companies that we have at the Collaboratory showed me a demonstration of a VR headset where they were using VR to lay out a robotics cell, you know, with several robots working on parts.
Yes.
So we've got one. Oh, yes.
And we're using it right now. And when we build a piece of equipment, we use that to show our customers how it's going to look.
It's really nice. Yeah, it's very cool. All right. Well, I bet you both have a bunch of website addresses to give us, and we're under a minute left now, so it's time to do that, I guess. First of all, K-Tech?
K-Tech Systems. It's K-TEC Systems.com.
And they're hiring.
Yes.
Yes.
So go there and get a job.
And, our, and ours is
right now.
Right now. Yes. Before she gets back to the office, I want at least five of you.
Tackle her
on
the parking lot.
248-414-4100.
There you go. She's good. Got to slip that in there. And Mark, right. You can slip in your plug.
You got a couple of website addresses too.
Yeah, sure. The main one is ltucollaboratory.com. And you can see everything that we're doing there, our Scale Up for Success program and all of our events.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much, Mark Brucke from Lawrence Technological University and Kathy Cook from Kate Tech. We are happy to have had you with us today. Please come back soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
It's Mike Brennan.
And I just pointed at him and took him by surprise that it's Matt Rausch.
Yeah. And we're on M Squared. We got to tell him what we're doing, right?
Yeah, right.
We're M Squared TechCast on the Podcast Detroit Network, and we have the voice of the show here with us who does our
commercials. This voice will sound very familiar to any of you who are regular listeners.
That's right. The mellow tones of Foster Brown. Yes,
it's got the voices kind of continues through the commercials right into the program.
That's it, yes. And then, of course, he does the editing. Behind the scenes, Foster is just one less thing for me to worry about. So Foster handles that brilliantly. So
I learn all sorts of things about the different technologies that you guys are dealing with, and it's wonderful. Matter of fact, I steal a few guests every now and then.
Hey, well, there you go.
Well, that's
you know?
One of the things we're here to talk about is your show. Because it is the 20th anniversary of the Internet Advisor on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, WJR 760 AM. I listened to that station when I was a kid. I mean, I've been listening to it for years. And it's hard to believe that show's 20 years old.
It's almost impossible for me to believe that because there have been so many changes that have happened. You think it just in terms you mentioned before about the internet is 25 years old.
Yep.
You know, so we were there right near the beginning of the internet, if you will. And the questions people would ask us were, you know, how can I that terrible noise the modem would make, you know? How can I connect at the highest baud rate and things like that?
Yeah.
And then we've gone on, you know, now to talking about virtual reality, one of the last guests
5G.
That we had on.
Oh, 5G coming up. When that comes, it's going to be a big game changer.
We were just talking about this past weekend with Richard Steenan.
Yes.
Somebody you know very well.
Sure, yeah.
Well, and just talking to the mic there.
Security guy.
he's a very, very tuned in to what's going on. And he was talking about 5G and what that's going to do. It's going to just kind of unleash everything.
Oh, yeah.
Because we'll go straight from our devices to the cloud, it seems.
Yeah. Well, it'll make what you can get on fiber on your phone, essentially. You know, so, yep. I mean.
Which is pretty much immersive everything everywhere.
Just what we need. Them kids wired in even more walking around with them smart. I live in Ann Arbor. I'm amazed that more of them aren't killed because they're always looking at their phone. They step off the curb, and you're watching them. You go, here they go. You got to keep an eye on them, right?
Well, that's Ann Arbor, though, because the pedestrians have the right of way there always, right?
Yeah, but you're not sure if they're going to step off because they're not really paying attention. They're walking along, and all of a sudden, they veer right into you.
And it's the physics of the thing, right? You know.
Yeah. That's what it is.
3,000-pound car versus 150-pound kid.
Right? Yeah, right. Yeah. Take them out, right? Get a little stamp on the side. But anyway, we digress. But,
so Foster, 5G, I just wanted to know, how did the show start? What was the genesis of
it? It started, I invited Gary Baker, who at that time was the person in charge of my ISP.
Yeah.
ISP, pardon me. BizServe, I think it was called.
Yep.
And I was having some trouble with my connection to the internet. It would be breaking up, and I couldn't understand what it was. Well, we finally...
This is great. You're going to love this one.
We noodled through it. It turned out to be squirrels.
Oh, yeah. I've had squirrel problems.
We're on the phone lines, and for some reason, they loved the taste of my cable.
Yeah.
And my phone line, and they were chewing through it, and that was what was causing the problem to start with.
I actually had that last Thanksgiving, a year ago Thanksgiving, so it would have been 2016. My son and his now fiance came to visit us from Minnesota, and we were only getting like 1 meg internet service in the house. So I was going crazy. They were going crazy. We had like 5 people in the house all on devices all the time, splitting a 1 meg connection. Oh. I'm like, I thought I was paying Comcast for 100 megs here. What's the deal?
Yeah.
And so I had a tech come out and he actually put something on my doorknob that said, service disrupted due to squirrel chew.
Kidding.
That was what they said. So they had to replace part of the line because the squirrels found it delicious.
That's fantastic. So, we've gone 20 years.
And they still like it.
They still
Heck, they probably evolved to adapt to it now. They're going to live on that.
She put something in there that's you know, really nasty to taste, right?
This may be you know, look, this may be urban myth, but I heard it was like peanut oil that had been used.
Okay.
Somewhere in the process.
That makes a lot of sense. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Anyhow, and so Gary was a guest. I was doing what was called the Great Weekend Show at that time.
Yeah.
And I invited him in. And I asked him some questions about my service, et cetera. And people, at the same time as I had him on, were calling in.
Yeah, you had call-ins as well. So,
So they started calling in right away. And really, the call-ins are the heart and soul of the show. And that's what I love, just as an old-time broadcaster.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 44 years, I think it is. I love connecting with people on the radio. That's, you know, Will broadcast for food, you know, the guy on the corner with the cardboard. That was me, Will broadcast for food. But anyway, I love connecting with people. So Gary really, and I did this on the show as well, had to give him credit for keeping that show on the air. He talked JR into giving us, excuse me, eventually a 2-hour show,
right?
Yeah,
on a Saturday afternoon, which was kind of unheard of.
Well, yeah, but you're one of the few shows that's actually a JR show on the weekend.
Absolutely, we're kind of like a vestigial remain of the old JR in the sense that we are produced by people who are part of WJR,
right.
But we are not a purchased program.
Right.
You know, somebody didn't.
So the weekend it's not is syndicated.
Like,
right.
Yeah, the weekend is black programming that somebody's like the garden show, things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Or know, a weight loss program or some other doctor, et cetera. So we really are one of the last ones there that are like that. And then we also have been fortunate to be picked up by Michigan Talk Radio, which is out of Lansing now. It's called Town Square.
Oh, it changed the name then.
Yep. Yep, and I think it's Steve Gruber and his wife Ivy are now the owners of that. And
are we in different markets now?
Yeah, yeah, and they're going at it, hammer and tongs, trying to revive that network of small stations throughout the state.
Yep.
So we were on stations in Grand Rapids and Battle Creek,
Lansing,
Muskegon, and I forget the other one. But anyway.
Kalamazoo.
Yes, Kalamazoo. Right. Yeah. Thank you.
I was going to say anything up north, Traverse City, Petoskey.
No.
I'd love to do, and I've
told Steve this.
High growth area of the state. So, yeah.
I'd love to promote that. I'd love to be able to get out there and promote that to their network. But they're really just kind of repairing the network right now. But in any case, we have that as an outlet as well. So Gary really kept this together because I've had a couple of health incidents in these 20 years that have kept me off the air at times for months at a time. And he has been there slugging away. So now he is
remote Gary.
Now he is remote Gary, realizing his dream on a boat down in Florida.
I was just with him on Saturday on his boat on the flybridge, and we were doing actually the show.
Yep, yep.
So,
but Gary has remarkable connections with IT in this area.
Well, he was Michigan's that company eventually became online tech, which
got sold.
Yeah, last week.
Jan wouldn't tell me for how much, but he said I'm taking the year off. off, and I go, I think you did okay there, Jan. Yeah,
Jan sold it.
Oh yeah, he sold it about a week ago.
Yeah, he sold it to the owners of the South Bend Tribune and a bunch of other newspapers around the country.
Who had been his backers? They'd put the $20 million into it originally.
And these guys also they owned a bunch of TV stations, but they sold all those off last year, so they've got a bunch of cash. And so
Jan got a bunch of it.
Well, it's interesting, kind of a parallel our program and the changes in technology. Jan went from being hosting, just hosting.
Well, that was Gary Baker's old company.
Well, that's it. He went from Gary's model, if you will, of hosting to data, storage and everything
just
else.
Something services in general.
Something as a service out of the cloud. Software as a service or disaster recovery as a service.
What I originally intended to say was that company, Gary's company, was Michigan's first private ISP. That was the very first company that would sell you internet service. I thought it was Gary.
Richard might be tied there.
I was going to say, we could ask him. Yeah, we could ask both of them.
I think they're about
they were at Merit. They were both in the Merit building, I think, in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, Merit used to be the internet service provider in Michigan back when it was only an educational and government thing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So we've kind of, ridden that wave of technology. And what it's done, too, is brought us to this place where we're also doing podcasts.
Right.
And that is a whole new, whole new era, a whole new way of communicating with people. And so we do have the radio program, and we are live usually between April and August. We have a regular slot that you can hear us on JR from 5 to 7 in the evenings on Saturdays. But then during the sports season, we're preempted often by MSU football, Lions football. And
I think we could drop the MSU thing. I don't have a problem with that whatsoever.
Go Blue!
Yes, Mr. But anyway, U of M graduate here.
This podcast universe is new. As a matter of fact, I've had Dave and Bob from IT and the D on talking about that, how broadcasting has changed to narrowcasting.
Right.
Very focused.
Well, like this show.
Exactly. So. And one of your guests was asking, well, how will people hear this? Well, you have to plug them into that network so they can hear that.
Yeah, we're not terrestrial. They have to go to the internet to listen. So.
Exactly. Exactly. And so that's a very different form of broadcasting.
Sure, yeah.
But very economical. I mean, I know what WJR's rates are. Yep. So
for 2 hours on a Saturday afternoon, even.
You're going to peel off some Benjamins there, I'll tell you. So,
I had to tip my hat to the tech experts that I've had on the air, because as the program evolved, Gary and I would answer questions, and Gary, really, I was sitting back and learning a whole lot and destroying my laptops in the process. But anyway, I learned by destroying. Anyway, we got a whole bunch of tech experts that came in. Tom Dyeroff, Ed Riddell, Cal Carson, Shane Hamlin. Bunch of guys have come
in. From the automaker with two initials that we're not supposed to talk about, but that's who they work for. So.
That's exactly it. But, I mean, they brought a wealth of experience in, and that I've loved to make that available to our audience. And then we partnered up with you. Was it 2 years, 3 years ago?
Three.
I think it's 3 years ago with MI Tech News.
Yeah, I do sometimes live segment, but always a segment on the show every week.
Right.
And I've done that from all over the place.
Oh, yes.
Like last one was from Florida, right?
You did one from Holland, I think, didn't you?
Yeah, I did one from the Netherlands, did one from Jerusalem.
That's right.
Wherever I'm at, let's get on the horn. I did this show from Tel Aviv.
I remember that.
It was like 10 o'clock at night and I called in, So.
Well, I think I've been a guest on Internet Advisor 3 or 4 times. I still remember the first time I did it. My mother actually picked it up in the Kalamazoo area. She was on the fringe area, and she called me up later. She said, "You sounded like you really knew what you were talking about." And I'm like, "Gee, thanks,
Fooled
Mom.
Them all, didn't
thanks,
you?
Mom." Well, in many ways, you're talking about your mom. Our audience on WJR is an older audience.
Yeah,
but I love dealing with them, and helping them. We had this on our 20th anniversary program. We had a guy call in at the end of the show, and I'll just do this very quickly. Who gave the most incredible ringing endorsement of our show. He said his mother was a nurse who was at the point of being bumped out of wherever she was working because she was afraid of technology. She heard our program, began to get into it, and he said, "You saved my mother's Social Security."
Wow.
Because she was able to, you know, to learn the technology. Some friends of hers got together and listened as a group. To hear that for me is just, okay, we've done it. If it's 20 years and out, that's great.
Yeah. Well 20 more then, right?
Say, hopefully it won't be.
Yeah.
All right, that's the Internet Advisor. It is Saturday afternoons from 5 to 7, yeah. when not preempted by large men wearing green and white carrying balls around.
That's yeah. right, exactly.
Well, then it goes outstate. It's always available outstate if it's not available live. But when it's available live, it's audience is anywhere up to 100,000 people listening. Yeah. So. Yep.
It's a huge audience. The other thing, too, is that it's available by going to internetadvisor.net. And you can get the podcast there.
Plus on MI Tech News.
And MI Tech News.
Promoted.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, funny thing. Okay, yeah, I got to
ring the bell.
That.
Yeah, that's for me. Okay.
Thanks, Mike. And thank you so much for inviting me in here, too.
All right. Well, we want to thank all of our guests here today, the Internet Advisors, Foster Brown, M-City Director Hui Ping, Lawrence Tech's Mark Brucke, and Greg Doyle from Tech 248, talking about 1 million cups, which unfortunately refers to coffee, but it's nobody's perfect.
I know. Last week, I think we were working on the other stuff.
So. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. A few cups last week?
A few.
Okay. Well, Mike was on vacation last week. So
Working vacation. I still got the work done, but then I had the nights in Florida, so that was okay.
Very nice. Okay. Well, we'll see you next week here at 2 o'clock Eastern time for another edition of the M Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast at PodcastDetroit.com.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at PodcastDetroit.com.